I mean, you're the soccer man.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all soccer people.
This is Roots Pod. Welcome into Roots Pod. It is almost time for the regular season. This is somehow a season preview episode. That really snuck up on me. Went through a whole off season, a lot of changes for the Oakland Roots this off season. And we finally got to see a little bit of what this team is going to look like out there on the field during this preseason. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about where the various USL prognosticators think the Oakland Roots are going to end up. And maybe, you know, what we're looking forward to this season on this episode of Roots Pod, which, again, somehow a season preview episode. It is almost time. I mean, it really snuck up on me. I'm joined in the virtual studio, as always, by Peter and John. And, you know, in addition to this episode, one way to get ready for the season is to peruse the smorgasbord of content that John produced following the most recent media day. We've got
still more to come. Still a lot more.
Still more to come. As of the time of this recording,
I have work to do.
We have transcriptions of interviews with Tommy McCabe, with Nana Adekora, and with the new head man, Ryan Martin. So obviously a very productive media day for you, John. And then, of course, we got a chance to see the Roots out there in their little scrimmage. Let's start with the media day. John, why don't you just let us know what your biggest impressions were of the day, of some of the new players that spoke to the media, of the new coach, really, because I think this is probably our first real direct contact with him. So when you walked out of the room that day, you know, kind of what themes did you see emerging for the Oakland Roots?
I mean, I think when I think of this team going into 2026, it's just clear there is a different way of business about this team. And I think we'll talk about that throughout the episode really here. You know, talking to Ryan Martin, talking to the different players, it's clear to see how far this organization has come. You know, we've talked time and time again about the level of coaches that this organization has brought in over the years. And Peter said it himself, you know, if we're the team that takes chances on, you know, first time coaches, like, so be it. What if it works out? You know, it almost did work out with Juan Guerra, sorry to say. But even that team, I think of that offseason when they brought in Guerra. And when I look to now, I have a similar type of excitement. But that being said, that team was so different. They were still on the lower side of the league in terms of the level of players they're bringing in, the salary. In regards to the other eight teams in the conference this offseason, you can just see how different it is. You can see how this organization, and Ryan even said it himself, they're going to go out and get the players that they need. I don't think you could say that in previous years, especially 21, 22, 23, maybe 2024 as well. So the elevation of the level throughout the organization, coach through the roster, is really noticeably different. And it's a big reason to be excited.
There's obviously a big advantage when you come in and you already have the Golden Boot winner. Like, that's the position that's too expensive to go and just get the guy you want for. And Martin doesn't have to. He gets to just have Peter Wilson. But I think you're right. I mean, it does sort of compare most favorably to, like, from a Roots perspective, to the Juan Guerra season. It's like, it's hard to know what we're going to get because it's the first time we've, like, gone and gotten a coach. You know, that the technical staff has identified a coach that they think has a vision and gone and gotten him. And Martin isn't a first-time head coach, but it's the first time he's coming to a place to win. instead of to run, you know, the second team for Loudon, which then sort of spun off or whatever.
Yeah, they do seem to be set up really well. I found it interesting, speaking of kind of that background setup, John, your interview with Tommy McCabe, he comes right out and says, you know, I'm not going to be taking over a game. You know, I'm not that guy. That's not what I do. But when I'm surrounded by a lot of really good players, I can make things hum. You know, I that is not his exact words. I don't have them in front of me right now because
I mean, that's essentially that.
That's basically what he said, right? But you got the sense that he feels like this is the kind of environment where he might be able to serve that role. And that would be huge. I mean, we've talked about, we sort of joked only semi-seriously about the failure to replace Matias Fisore, but we also sort of haven't replaced Jose Hernandez either. And
good point. Yeah.
And if we've got a guy who can be pulling the strings, that, I mean, that already is going to be practically a breath of fresh air. It's going to be a style of play that we haven't had the chance to see in a few years. And I don't personally think we should get too caught up in styles of play in the USL necessarily. I know there are differences, but if you listen to how coaches talk about what they want to do, it's all the same thing. You know, they're all using exactly the same words. They're espousing exactly the same concepts, which makes sense. I mean, that's, you know, they're basically espousing the current football meta, which is great, but we haven't had a guy in the middle of the park who could control the tempo in years. And it's been something that's pretty obvious in the way the Roots have played the last couple of years, that they just don't have that guy in the midfield. And they've tried a couple of they've tried to put together the midfield in a couple of different ways. But if this fella can do what he says he can do, that's pretty exciting, even before we start talking about the attack and the defense. Now, I know we want to talk about the attack. Just one of the other things that made me sort of chuckle from your transcriptions, John, of your interviews is when Ryan Martin is discussing how we're going to play defense, he says, we're going to be honest. I'm not sure I've ever, that is a quote. That is definitely the word he used. I don't know that I've ever heard a coach use that as the descriptor of what their back line is going to look like. I'm very curious to hear what you guys think he meant by that.
He will not run pick plays. those are bad sportsmanship. I otherwise don't know.
I don't know.
Sounds like, as my guess would be, he means he's going to run four defenders to play defense. You know, and he's not going to try to do like a I don't know. I can't come up with anything else except to say that, like, I mean, you have this sort of modern idea of a fullback, right? And I think that it's old enough, like a fullback that contributes heavily in attack. And I think the Roots also had, you know, Hackshaw, who at times has been asked to play this sort of like defensive midfielder role, that he would step up and contribute significantly. And I wonder if what an honest defense means is that the defense's ball is to win possession and get it to the midfield and that's it. And that by simplifying that, there will be fewer mistakes.
That is a hell of a scientific look into that statement. I agree.
He may have also been blowing wind from his ass.
I mean, I think we know how Ryan Martin is going to play. There's a lot of film on his systems. I think they're, you know, going to press in the right areas, get compact in the right areas, and build out. And they it's all historically been one of the highest passing teams in the league. A lot of, you know, very high passing numbers, a lot of short passes. So I think that's what we can expect. And
yeah, the fullback involved in the attack, it takes a pretty special fullback to contribute too much to the attack, I think. And I just don't know if that is the route most USL teams should be taking, honestly.
And that's the biggest question mark on the team right now, yeah. Right? The fullback spot. I mean, go on.
No, like you listen to, I mean, for folks who watch the Premier League, you listen to like Graham Lassell and Lee Dixon talk at length about what being a fullback was like in the 90s. And it's not that they didn't contribute to the attack. It's that they had one move in attack. And it was a give and go where you tried to beat the opposing fullback, get close to the touchline and serve a cross in, and then you ran back to play defense. And that's a sort of traditional fullback role. And I think that a lot of teams try to do things differently. They do the inverted fullbacks or the inverted wingers, and sort of at the highest level. And I think that gets replicated down the pyramid. And I think the Roots also tried to fit a lot of square pegs into round holes last year, which I think was more personnel issues than tactical decision making. I think Martin has gone out and tried to solve that by getting guys who were traditional right backs and left backs. And, you know, for instance, I mean, not to get ahead of ourselves, I see that John Morrissey is projecting Julian Bravo as our starting left back, and I think that's probably not correct. I think Bravo is probably a backup center back, where he was better last season in that role. Mm. And I think it's funny because sometimes you see, maybe just at the highest level, you see like very left-sided center backs will sometimes play left back and it works fine. But it's like at this level where your guys aren't necessarily, like Bravo got caught out because he wasn't as fast as a left back is sort of expected to be in that role. So even though he's like a defense first player, he was like defensively weaker in some games. And I think that Martin, and then obviously we ran Panos Armanakis at left back a bunch last season. That was insane. I mean, that's just, we're just like, I mean, it does create incredible overloads and breakaways because you have a great passer at left back, but it was also like we weren't playing a left back on defense. He might as well have not been there at all. So I you know, that is my, I'm growing into this interpretation as I'm being forced to talk about it, that what he means is he's gotten fullbacks and they're going to play fullback.
I just want to be clear that Peter is literally being forced to talk about this. I am holding a weapon to his head. There is no choice but to talk extemporaneously and somewhat at length about the fullback position in the United Soccer League here on this podcast.
Aaron says, make content, motherfucker.
Oh, boy. Well, I know that the... I shouldn't say I know, but I gather from the off.
Oh, so we're not being confident now in our suppositions.
This is, we can be confident. But I gather from the off season chatter that what we are all most excited about is the attack. And that is part the fact that as Peter already alluded to, the Roots are bringing back the player who was the most prolific goal scorer in the USL last year in Peter Wilson. They have on the roster, although, you know, we'll see how much he ultimately plays because this was a bit touch and go last season. They have on the roster Danny Trejo, who we know is a proven attacker in the USL. And if they can get any kind of playing time out of him, that's going to look pretty amazing. And then we have a number of additions that come over with Ryan Martin, most notably Florian Vallo. And despite all of that, at Media Day, both Ryan Martin and Nana Adekora said that if there was one position the Roots were looking to add to, it was in attack. So we already have a pretty solid stable of guys at the, you know, to lead the lineup there, or that's the wrong phrase, but to serve in the attack. And they're trying to add to it. And now we'll move away from Media Day just to scooch. But we know from what we have been able to gather about our preseason performances that it really seems like this team is going to be set up to go balls to the wall and attack. Come hell or high water, that is the goal here, is to score more goals than the opposing team. It's not to concede fewer. It is to score more. And that is how we will be approaching games this season. Peter, you've been pretty vocal about your impression about how wide open this is going to be. So let me just hand the floor to you. And what are you expecting to see here?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly right. And why they need another attacker is you listed four, and I think that all four are going to start.
Oh, I forgot Wolfgang. That's the fourth.
Oh, actually, sorry.
Wolfgang was the first name out of Ryan Martin's mouth when he was asked this question at Media Day, which I think is pretty significant. But that there's your four right now.
Yeah. So I think that it's going to be like, you know, you could sort of project it in different ways. I think that it's going to be like you have two strikers, two forwards, an attacking midfielder, two forwards and two wingers and two central midfielders who play who are more about circulating possession. And I think the wingers are going to be very attacking. And it looked, based on the preseason game, like that's going to be Danny Trejo and Wolfgang Prentiss. So Trejo wasn't playing, but the way I saw that role being used looked to me like it was supposed to be Trejo. And Prentiss came on in the second half. And it's funny, Prentiss came on and immediately it's like you could see the plan. Things had been, you know, they were testing out some new guys and playing some guys, not necessarily out of position, but maybe not how they had been practicing all week. And Prentiss came on and it was every ball was like right back to Prentiss up the field, right back to Prentiss, give and go up the field into the box. And it just looked very much like that was the idea. And I think you're going to have Wilson as a striker and Velo as a 10. So in a sort of old school, not old school. I think of it as like a 4-4-2 where the two are Thierry Henry and Dennis Bergkamp. And Bergkamp is like a forward. Many people now would consider him like a attacking midfielder. But the point is that his job is like very quick transitions. You get the ball to him and he puts Henri into space or is there at the top of the box and Henri passes it back to him for the open shot. And I think that that is the idea for the Prentiss Velo attack, sort of supported getting into the box, creative play up the wings, with Trejo on one side and Prentiss on the other. And I think one of the backups there is Batash, but I'm sure they want another, partially because I think Batash probably is going to do double duty as one of the midfielders alongside McCabe. I may be wrong there. My guess is that Bobasi is the guy with McCabe, with Gibson as off the bench. So first of all, that's really attacking, right? That's like way more attacking than what the Roots have run out recently. You know, that only leaves four defenders. It means we're not playing three center backs. And it means that McCabe is our most defensive midfielder. And he's probably slightly more attacking than when we usually ran, say, Gibson in that position last year. And it means that there's like, you know, no one else basically is going to be expected to contribute. I mean, is like a defense first player. Bobasi obviously can put in a shift and like, you know, he can absorb some pressure as a midfielder, but like he is also pretty attacking. And I think that's exciting because I think that these are all guys who can score goals and that makes it at least in theory worth the risk, right? That yeah, you know, we're going to be conceding some counterattacks that are like 3-on-3, and the Roots conceded on a lot of those last year. But the, you know, the other side of that is like, when we're in attack, there's going to be six guys up there, and they're all guys with either goal threat or someone like McCabe, who you can see passing the ball or into the opponent's box. So I'm very optimistic about that. You can see why they want another forward, why they need someone else in that attack, because Trejo and Valo are both sort of question marks in their ability to play 34 league games. So I went for a while. You teed me up. Now someone else take over.
Again, there were threats that ensured that Peter made content. Now the threats have shifted to John. John, go.
John, the content.
No, I agree. I mean, the attack is the most enticing thing about this team. I mean, you look at the depth they have in the attack, in the midfield. The midfield is probably where I'm most impressed with the additions. I think it's become the deepest part of the team. And like you said earlier, Aaron, I mean, they haven't really had that facilitator, that playmaker up the middle since Jose Hernandez. It's long been a spot where the connectivity just hasn't been there. You know, Bobosi kind of came on late last season, and I think, you know, we have a good season ahead for him. I mean, I want to see that next step with his development. McCabe is, yeah, that guy who could ping around passes, will play it short, will find the right guy. So I'm curious to see what happens with Ali. I think Ali is also very, very talented player, represents the future of the team. Maybe he comes on for, maybe he's McCabe's backup. You know, he showed some good defensive moments last season. And I'm intrigued with Luka Rosic. I think that's someone you can't sleep on. I think he's going to get playing time. He has a bright future ahead of him. I think this is a good opportunity for him to really refine his craft, but I think that he'll be an important player. And then you have Tyler Gibson backing it all up. What a good depth piece to have there. I think he even mentioned during the media day that he could line up in different spots in the preseason game. He kind of kicked out on to the right side at times. So I thought that was interesting. But yeah, even John Morrissey points out that the question mark with this team is the defense. You know, we'll get a beat on these guys. It's really hard to predict right now. You know, David Garcia looks like a quality signing. I liked what I saw out of Michael Edwards. He's a really tall guy. They have, you know, two pretty sizable center back options right there. Hackshaw, I mean, got praise from Ryan Martin. I'm curious to see who starts among those three, you know, pick two of them. And
what about Fisher?
Fisher, I think he played at right back. I think that's what you can expect from him. You look at the fullback spot. That is the obvious area where they need numbers at right now. I think they did sign Fisher to play that right back spot. And he can even play the midfield too if needed. You know, they could really run a variety of systems with the personnel that they have. So, you know, on to the left side, you know, De Vicente, he took a lot of the corners, can really lift the ball really, really well. You know, if passing, like you said earlier, Aaron, is a big part of this attack, you're going to need those quality passers out on the wings, and that's why I would give the edge to De Vicente over Bravo, like Morrissey wrote. So I would expect De Vicente starts on the left.
I thought Garcia and Edwards both looked good in the preseason game, but I also have this feeling like that is a position that is going to just be hard to judge against mediocre opposition. And San Ramon are very far below the Roots level. And it's kind of like, I would expect Edwards and Garcia to be completely untroubled by San Ramon's attack. And that is in fact what happened, but it means that it's a little hard to say whether that means how good they're going to look against USL championship competition. I'm still pretty, you know, I think that on paper, they're signings that make sense. In some ways, it's hard to imagine how our defense could be worse than last year. And these guys look good. You know, they're signings that I think are, there's a real logic there, and I can see them being good. Like John said, you know, the outside back positions are a little bit of a question mark, because it seems like only one of Fisher or Tingey can start. Whereas on the left side, it's like we have Dave Vicente, and it's not even clear if Bravo is his backup at left back. So that may be a spot that they either think that they can fill from the academy, or that's a spot that's going to come up. You know, from the preseason, so much like the center back position, I feel like it's a little hard to judge the attack against a defense that, you know, isn't really in this, is literally not in the same league as them. But, you know, what I felt like I did get out of that game is the sense that McCabe is just sort of imperious back there, you know, and they were pressing him. They were pushing, they were quick to the ball on him, and he just looked like he didn't care. You know, it's like when you see midfielders that are just completely in control, move the ball quickly when they need to, don't move the ball quickly when they correctly assess that the pressure isn't there, you know, wait for the play to develop. I thought he just looked, and I thought he looked really good, and I thought he looked good in a way that made me think he's going to be able to do that against much better opposition.
Yeah, that was one oversight that I passed over for the outside back spot was Keegan Tingey. You know, he was among the three critical pieces brought in from Loudon. So he lines up at right back. You got really good competition there among, I think, college teammates in Tingey and Fisher. So, you know, they're obviously rooting for each other. But there's also, I mean, on the back end, you know, deep depth piece, you have Jonathan Polio, who, I mean, I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but you know, I'm gonna make mistakes. But he's an outside back.
Of all the names that you might be mispronouncing,
I know. What, U17 El Salvador, U19 El Salvador? So, really talented kid. That might be someone the next, you know, prize out of Project 510 to keep an eye on.
So let me just try to sum up all of this discussion. We're feeling cautiously optimistic about the defense. Actually, before we even get there, the keeper situation is roughly exactly the same as it was last year, right? And in fact, if you, as of the moment of recording, if you go to the Oakland Roots Sports Club, the official roster page, there's like seven people listed, and three of them are goalkeepers because they haven't updated the roster yet with the new signings. But we know we're getting there. It is fine. You know, I thought it's fine. There's not a whole lot. There's nothing new to add there.
Yeah. You know, this team is going to be made to score.
That's so right.
I think that's
not
exciting.
In a situation where the selection of goalkeeper is dispositive of how this team is going to do this year. And honestly, I feel like Kendall McIntosh's luck regarding long shots from outside the box can't possibly be any worse than it was last year. So, like, that ought to be an improvement on its own.
Pendulum
defense. We're cautiously optimistic. It is almost completely new. Obviously, Hackshaw and Bravo are back there, but no one expects them to get substantial minutes. There are some questions. You know, I think Martin obviously knows what Keegan Tingey can provide. And I think that he has some familiarity with a couple of the other guys that are back there as well. But no one's quite sure how this is going to work together. It's like Peter says, it's not something that we can assess in a scrimmage against obviously overmatched opposition. We're barely in a position to assess it when it's USL on USL. So the course of transactions over this offseason give us reason to trust that these guys know what they're doing here, but this is No one's really sure. The midfield looks, I don't want to say stacked necessarily, but there's enough bodies. There's enough bodies for a lot of things to go wrong and it's still to be okay. McCabe looks like the kind of player that the Roots is the kind of player we haven't had in a long time, and a level of player that the Roots maybe have never had in the midfield. I think that is probably the high end outcome here, is that he is actually the best midfielder that the Roots have ever employed. We have Ali Elmasnaoui, who should be, who I think the club trusts to be the future, and you would expect to see a bit of a step up from him. There's just a lot of guys, Faisal Battash. I mean, you could point in any number of directions. There's someone in the midfield, and then there's the attack. We're all excited about it, and it's also probably the biggest feast or famines thing here, right? I mean, we have Danny Trejo, whose health last year was questionable, and it's unclear if that is a situation that's going to be any better this year. We have, because let's be real, that's a guy who is talented enough to play on an MLS roster, and if he's signing for a USL roster, there's probably a reason. Mm-hmm. And we have Florian Vallo, who, again, proven contributor, but maybe not the guy you're relying on, you know, game in and game out. Wolfgang Prentiss, who has gotten better every year, he's got a role to play. And then there's Peter Wilson, who we keep referring to as the reigning Golden Boot winner. It probably should be noted that about halfway through the season, he had what, like two goals? I mean, it was pretty bad there for a while.
It was an amazing run. Yeah,
right. And so you have to ask yourself, like, which is that sustainable? Is that replicable? Which who is the real Peter Wilson? Is he somewhere in the middle there? And what would any of those answers mean for how the Oakland Roots are setting up? Because almost by necessity, you're going to set up with the expectation that he's going to score a lot of goals. If his goal scoring record looks like the first half of last year, we might be in a bit of a pickle.
Yeah, you know, I mean, with Peter Wilson, I think building into the role was very, very important for him. You know, it's not easy to fly all the way from Europe, where he's living, Sweden or Switzerland at the time. I'm pretty sure he was playing what, third division Sweden? And he was lighting it up there. You know, this guy was a prolific goal scorer. So you wonder at the time, like, oh, can that translate? And it took him a while, but I mean, he's the finishing that we saw on that film, I mean, it shined through. And, you know, in regards to the preseason game, he looked great. He finished a shot that you think it goes in against anybody, regardless of it being a UPSL opponent. But I wanted to go back to your earlier point about the midfield, and I think even maybe throughout the roster, the player I'm most excited about is probably Bobosi. He landed at the preseason game, you know, not sure how far into detail we can get, but he landed one of the most beautiful shots I've ever seen in person. And if he can play like he did in that the season finale last year, where he made that long run down the right side, and I think it led to a goal. I mean, the guy's potential is through the roof, and who knows, maybe a year into the team, just like, you know, Peter Wilson, taking time to get comfortable in his new surroundings, time to get comfortable into the team around his teammates. It means a lot. So, I mean, he's probably who I'm most excited about, knowing we have a Golden Boot winner on the roster.
It must have been so difficult for those guys to get settled with the team when, like Wilson was here at the beginning, but he didn't start the first couple of games, and Bobosi didn't even come in until like a month or something. And it's like they're trying to bed in the, you know, striker, which is such a hard position, and Bobosi, who's starting a month late, right, is the wheels are completely coming off, you know? And so it's like then Benny comes in and they have to like restart. They have to re-figure out how to embed with this team. And it just felt like I don't know. It's like that team last year, to the extent it ever gelled in about September. And you would really hope that, like, they've known Martin's going to be the manager for a long time. They've had a whole offseason together. The plan is in place. So hopefully, you know, I think there's more than just beginning of season optimism to reason to believe that these guys are going to be able to perform like they did at their best. It's, you know, it's funny. I feel like you were mentioning, like, can Wilson repeat his form? It's like, there's, even if we say Wilson only scores 10 goals, there's a world where Wilson scores 10 goals and so do Velo and Trejo, and this team blows the league open. And there's Wilson scores 10 goals, Trejo and Velo each get 10 appearances, and we maybe get relegated. But I don't know. I don't. That's not the world I'm envisioning right now. Too much other dog shit is happening in the world for me to be pessimistic about the Root season.
Well, and what's the point? What's the point of being a fan if you're not going to be optimistic? But we are not alone in it this year. A lot of the USL prognosticators expect some good things out of the Oakland Roots. So much so that, you know, I almost feel comfortable being optimistic again. You know, we have a bit of a once bitten, really twice bitten, twice shy kind of situation here with Oakland, because
we've been primarily bitten. I just would say. Only bitten. Actually, really. Only bitten.
So obviously we go into every season with optimism. You know, last year we went into the season thinking, hey, like, home playoff game, like that's the expectation. They could fall short, you know, there tends not to be a huge gap between fourth and sixth or seventh, but that's where we think the Oakland Roots are. John Morrissey, who writes for Backheeled and is the USL tactics guy, had the Oakland Roots picked last in the West. And we were like, I don't know if you're right about that one. He said things like, who was the Mexican Trumpist that was on the team last year?
Jorgen Dahm.
Yes, Jorgen Dahm. We were like, what a great signing for the Oakland Roots. And he was like, that guy's washed. He was absolutely right about that. So, you know, now that they're saying, hey, Oakland could be as good as third, which is kind of the top end of the range of predictions here. Like, you feel pretty good about that, because they were spot on last year in a way that none of us were prepared to accept. So going to need them to be spot on again this year, basically. But it's nice to know that we're not the only ones feeling optimistic about the Oakland Roots chances right now.
Well, and as you may recall, like the whole Western Conference last year, there were like three good teams and everyone else was pretty mediocre, and things sort of shook out towards the end. And I feel like it was easy for us to lose track of that, because the Roots just ended up on the outside looking in. But like, seven other teams in the Western Conference really felt like they needed to rebuild this offseason. And so it's like, you were not comparing the Roots rebuild to a bunch of competent teams. Like, Morrissey is looking at seven rebuilds and projecting which ones he thinks are going to hit. And I think that there is real, you know, I mean, and I think that he thinks that Lexington has spent so much money, and Sacramento both spend a lot of money. And I mean, they pretty much always do a pretty good job. And I think he has them locked in pretty much at one and two. And then everything from third to sixth is pretty fluid. And that's where he has the Roots, third to fifth, third to sixth. And I think he's sort of leaning higher, but it kind of depends on how many of these bets hit.
Yeah, I could see that for the Western Conference. I mean, it with Lexington, it's tough to predict, right? I mean, we've seen Oakland Roots make heavy spending, and it didn't work out last offseason. But Lexington went out. They've got to be the highest spending team now in the Western Conference. So where will that shake out for them? I mean, I guess to finish at the top of the table, I mean, you got to start pretty strong. I mean, hard to say, because Tulsa did not start that strong last season. I'm clueless to where Tulsa will land. But I mean, there's tough competition in the West, and it could go any way. I mean, look at Lexington. How quickly can they put it together? Sacramento, how consistent can they be? Can we challenge Sacramento? I mean, anything can happen on a derby day, right? So I could see us taking points from them for sure. New Mexico is going to be a great team. You know, Dennis Sanchez is a great coach. They're going to have a really fun team. They're always contending. Who else am I missing there? I mean, San Antonio will always be a tough team. But I think those three that I mentioned, I got to be missing someone. They've got to be, you know, the top competition in the West.
So a new day is perhaps about to dawn, although I suppose we would be remiss if we didn't mention the possibility that the season might not start on time. We have covered a little bit here, the CBA talks, and there is still no deal. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be soccer, right? You don't actually have to have a ratified CBA in place to keep playing. But also, without one in place, the players are totally within their rights to strike, and the owners are within their rights to lock the players out. So we obviously have zero insight, but I will say again, this is something else that was brought up at the media day. I think someone might have put a question somewhat related to this to Tommy McCabe. John put this question to Tommy McCabe, and he praised Oakland's facilities. I think he specifically praised Oakland's espresso machine, but he went out of his way to very quickly pivot and talk about the need to bring up the level of facilities and standards at some of the other clubs, noting, of course, that some of the guys on the roster now might end up elsewhere by the end of the season or next season. So that is hanging over the beginning of the season like a black cloud. It would be a huge wasted opportunity, I think, for the USL. Theoretically, there will be a World Cup in the United States later this year. Although, I mean, we are just doing our damnedest to make sure no one wants to come for that. But let's assume that goes forward. Huge opportunity to grow the game. And everyone in the USL, I assume, wants to be part of that. And gives me optimism they'll reach a deal, but not necessarily optimism that they'll reach a deal and be able to play by next weekend.
Well, what's sort of given me some optimism is it just seems like everyone's getting ready for the season, like it's going to happen. And I realize you have to, like, you're contractually obligated to do so, or you like mess up the negotiations. But I don't know. It just kind of seems like they all think they're going to play. And I wonder if that means, you know, I guess I take that to mean I think the players think the owners will fold. And that may very much be my bias showing. But that just seems to me like it's the, if everyone's acting like the season's going to go forward, it means that the people who are thinking about holding out think the other side's going to fold, right? So I don't know. I'm a little worried.
Yeah.
We may be going back to the same like optimism about the season. It's like the USL championship season not happening is like 11th on my list of priorities right now. just the number of things going on in the world. I mean, obviously my family is first. but no, in this context, I'm specifically just meaning like when it looks like the world is ending every 8 to 12 hours. I can't bring myself to be pessimistic about ownership.
That's good. We're at the point in the broadcast when we can do our usual agitprop segment, your regular visit from the Roots Pod Politburo. It does say something that the best news that we've had this week is that the president had some sort of unexpected wound on his neck and continues to be unable to say basic words in press conferences after 5 o'clock in the evening. So that's great news for all of us for what I think are pretty much obvious reasons, because everything else sucks with our current war of preemptive defense, I think is what we're doing these
and
days.
And fucking Marco Rubio.
Yeah. It's not great. It's one more. I'm surprised. I'm still surprised. I mean, the Germans, God bless them. The Germans have made noise about why the hell are we going to play in this World Cup this year? I continue to be surprised we don't see more of that. And
that may have something to do with the fact that the Germans don't suspect they're going to get past the round of 16.
Hey-o.
Like, broader sort of why are we going to play in this? But no, I agree. I don't think people should come to this World Cup. I think it should be canceled.
Didn't you see the FIFA? I forget who reported this, but FIFA is sad about the ticket sales and the level of excitement for this World Cup. I think they expected, right? This is the first 48-team World Cup. This is going to be huge. Of course. They scheduled to be in North America at a time when we're all self-immolating. And
well, to be fair, Mexico and Canada aren't self-immolating.
That's true. We're doing it to them. Canada's actually, well, yeah, Canada's doing okay politically, but I think their loss in the gold medal game really stung for them. Not sure they were, might take them a bit to get over that. But
also, isn't FIFA's doing like dynamic pricing for the World Cup, right? And that seems to me like you have to understand if you're going to do strict supply and demand that people aren't going to be excited, right? That's the point, is you price the tickets up to the point where it's just slightly more worth it than not. And so it's like, I mean, I'm sure they didn't think about this in advance, but that's the idea, right? Is like you are choosing to price the tickets at the amount that pisses people off until the moment they're in the stadium enjoying the game.
Yeah. But I think they've already decided to pull back on like the big fan zone, wherever that was supposed to be. And it's just a total mess. And it would be real sad for soccer if this is how it went down. But hey, I think we're going to sleepwalk into the worst possible outcome. So woohoo.
Woo! We did it.
But fingers crossed. Inshallah, we will have an Oakland Roots soccer game at Monterey Bay FC this coming weekend. Let's talk about how we're going to win this game, guys. It's time once again.
It's time
to talk about how the Oakland Roots are going to win the game this weekend. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, starting off, I'll be down there. I'll be tailgating down there, you know, come slide out. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, I mean, these two played in the preseason and it was a really close game. From my understanding, it was a tie game. So I'm curious to see how this goes. You know, we talked about this team being high offense, low defense. So I'm going to go high. I'm going to go 4-2 Roots win, and it'll be a fun one.
The prognosticators are not optimistic about Monterey Bay. And I don't really have any, I mean, I have significantly less to go on than they do there. But I would be sort of surprised if the Roots attack is ready to click week one. Which isn't to say I don't believe in them. It's just that, I don't know, are they all even going to be there? Are they going to be in sync? But I think I'm optimistic enough to say Roots win. Maybe I'll say 2-0. We'll say 2-0. I'm going to give us a clean sheet in week one.
Wow, a clean sheet in week one. My goodness.
That's impressive. That's impressive.
Yeah, I think those are impressive. Those are lofty goals. That's not what we do around here.
This is where you bring us back to earth.
Nah, 3-1. Going to be... it's going to be totally ragged. But I like the pieces the Oakland Roots have, even if they might be missing some potential key contributors. I feel pretty good about what they're throwing out there. And you know, if you've got a lead, you know, that's the kind of time when you probably will have some opportunities to take advantage of a team that's pressing at the end of the game. And you know, I'm thinking 3-1. And I don't know how much we're going to be able to actually read into that result at the end of the match, but we will be able to see 3 points on the table. I think that's my prediction.
We're all projecting 2-goal victories, and you may say that we're setting ourselves up to be really embarrassed if the Roots lose this game, but in fact, we won't be. You'll never hear from us again. We'll all go full Leonardo DiCaprio in one battle after another, and you'll never hear from us again.
That doesn't seem very likely. In fact, we'll be back after the match next week to talk about it, to figure out what we've learned, see if there's anything new,
coward,
anything that's troubling, anything that's exciting. We'll talk about it all. We'll discuss whether there's any new wounds that have appeared on the president, you know, any new evidence that either the end of days or a new morning is nigh. Whether there's even a match, you know, maybe there won't be a match. Maybe we'll have to talk about CBA negotiations. Who knows? But we will be doing it. I will be forcing John and Peter to create content for Roots Pod. Of course, until then, up the Roots.